Blog Talk Radio.
Listen, good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome to the PRF table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap. Also sitting here with me at the table is Mama, a.k.a. Mary Ann Williams, or Mary Ann Williams, a.k.a. Mama. We call her whatever on this show. Mama, how you doing this evening?
Yes, good evening. Good evening. I'm doing fine. Thank you. And welcome to everyone here on the line with us this evening. I am so happy to once again being able to take a seat at the PRF table with my PRF family. And again, I will say, we are here at the PRF table. Appreciate each and every one of you for taking out time out of your schedule to be with us. So with that being said, let the show begin with Dr. Nathaniel Dunlap, Jr.
Yeah. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, Mother. It's not just me, it's all of us. And we are so excited once again to have our special guest from last week, author extraordinaire, Miss Renee Higgins, the author of the fabulous book, It Was Necessary, You Gotta Get It. Sister Renee, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well, Doctor. How are you doing this evening?
I'm a little tired, but we're going to press through this thing today. We got to be honest with this thing. Sometimes your body's tired, but you know, yeah. There's no growing weary and well-doing, but that don't mean your body's not going to be tired. So we press through this thing tonight.
Amen.
Yes, we're going to press through it tonight.
Amen.
Because there's some stuff that we really got to get, you know, to the people. We really have to communicate to the people what we're doing and how we're getting everything done. So tonight we're continuing on with our April 2017 series, Fasting for Finances. I've been excited about it ever since God gave it to me a month or so ago. And I want to just start off tonight's show with talking a little bit about what y'all gained from last week. You know, we were talking from Daniel chapter 10 and the Daniel fast and Daniel chapter 1. And we touched on a little bit about Matthew 17 and Mark 9, which we're really going to go into tonight. Mom, I just want to start with you, and Renee,
yes,
will pass the mic over to you, because, Mom, I feel that you have something that you want to say about last week's show.
Yes, thank you, thank you. I tell you, it's I had so much, you know, I was going to go and listen to the show again to make sure I could get some more nuggets, but it seemed like time passed me by. So I said, okay, so as I was in the kitchen fixing dinner, and I was just thinking about fasting, I was thinking about what you said, Sister Renee, about us coming to God with our agenda. And I thought about my fasting, and when I fast, yes, okay, because. And here are the ABC, these are the things that I'm fasting for, you know. But then it was just laid upon me that when we fast with our agenda, and of course me not really having an understanding I need about the reason for fasting, the Lord still looks above that because he knows that we don't know. And so when I believe when we that don't understand fasting I'll go on and take that path, and God says to us, okay, you need to make a budget. The answer is, okay, you're fasting. Then, you know, you get your answer. You know, you need to make a budget. You need to stop spending too much. And when, you know, I hear when way back in the day, you know, when I would hear, when I heard that, I'd say, oh, yeah, okay, I know. And I'm still looking for my answer. But God has already given me my answer. See, because go back to the beginning, faith. if I believe that God is able to do anything, or God, and I know that everything with God is impossible. And then when God tells me I need to make a budget and I need to stop extra spending, and I'm still looking for an answer, it's because I'm looking for him to do something for me. And my faith is believing that when I go to God and he gives me an answer, that's the answer. That's my answer. And sometimes it's hard because we say we know. I say, oh, yeah, you know, I remember so well. And I say, oh, yeah, I know. But I didn't even take that as God, like that was coming from God, because I already had my mind made up that something physical is going to happen, you know, a check in the mail or whatever, you know. And that's just what he just laid that on my spirit. Sometimes we have to be a good steward over our finances. And sometimes we think we're doing it, it's not, and so he tells us this is what we need to do. But our mindset is like we're looking for something else. You know, we know we should do it, but okay, that's just me thinking, you know. We're looking for God to do something just supernatural. But see, faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so, and it says faith without works are dead. So now where is my action there? Where is my action? My action is, okay, maybe I need to stop my spending. So because that was in my mind, it did come to my mind, and I know I just go out and do whatever I want to do, but because I'm expecting God to do something else, my answer was to discipline. The answer was discipline yourself. Be a good steward over your money. That was my answer from God. It wasn't anything that he's going to, you know, supernatural, check coming through the mail, am I going to put the money in your hand, you know, the things that we look for. No, be a good steward over what I've given you. Amen.
Sister Renee, I guess you got to come behind Mama. Lord Jesus, if Adia was on the show right now, I don't know what Adia would do.
I was sure thinking about her because I immensely enjoyed her last week. She touched on some things about praying for our finances. And one of the things I wanted to bring out tonight was that in learning how to deal better with my finances, I found something out during my healing process and going through different things. A lot of times what we do with money that's out of the will or kind of out of line with the scheme of what God is doing right now is indicative of some internal things that are going on. And I tell you what, I had to really learn that because I would spend money because it made me feel better to go shopping. Mm-hmm. It made me feel better to always be on point, look fly. It made me feel better to do things that were not necessarily the wisest with my money, but it kind of soothed the pain for me. And that's something that I'm very mindful of now in dealing with God's money. If you're going to spend money unwisely, get to the meat of the matter. You have to find out what's going on. It's not all the time that you're just a bad steward. Sometimes we just have other things going on, and we kind of overcompensate or we spend frivolously and just do things we have no business doing. And I know for me, shopping is one of them. Learning to be a single woman. Now, I've always thought you should always look like you have good sense and dress, but boy, when I became single, what? I was at the mall every week, 2, 3, mm-hmm. 4 hours, just because. And it was very soothing for me. It wasn't that I had to spend X amount of money or get the most expensive. I was looking for the best deals. I was just excited. I just got a rush out of shopping. But when I dealt with the real issues, I was a hurt woman. I was a woman looking to be comforted by something, and what I ended up doing was spending money, you know, most of the time that I shouldn't have been spending. But what I've learned is that when you get healed in all those little hidden, broken areas, you learn what to do with God's money just like you learn to do with everything else that this walk calls us to. So I had to really tighten up there and do a lot better, and I'm always encouraged by the lady with the two mites, and the Bible says, Jesus says she gave more than everybody else because she gave from her heart. It was a heart condition. Mm-hmm. And That's something I'm really big on teaching people. Everything that we do hangs on the law and the prophets. If we love God with all our heart and love each other, well, if you give out of love, you will give appropriately. So doesn't matter how much all the time and all that, but when we get our finances in order, it becomes a heart condition, and you give from a good place, which is your heart, opposed to rules and regulations or what you think is still. No, you give from your heart, and it makes it all well.
That's right. And people need to hear the things that the two of you have been saying and what Adia said on last week, because there are a lot of people out here hurting, especially financially. And everybody knows our heart here at the PRF table or PRF ministry, whatever area we're coming from. We have a heart for people because of what we see. We have a heart for people because of what we hear. We have a heart for people for what we experience with other people going through trials and tribulations. And trials and tribulations are not always people not having money. One of the greatest mantles that we're carrying right now here at the PRF table, PRF Institute, really, is on wills and inheritances. Our course, Will You Not, is like the number one thing out here, along with financial healing. That's a heavy burden. I'm going to just tell you, that's a heavy burden to carry, knowing that people dying all the time and don't have their affairs in order. So this area that we're talking about, I posted it on the Blog Talk site, and I said, tonight we continue with episode 2 of our April 2017 series, Fasting for Your Finances. And then I said, so what? You've never been taught this before. There are so many things out here that God is trying to get our attention on. And it may be something that somebody's never been taught before. You know, here's what we're talking about. Have you ever heard of that? And they said, no. And I'm like, okay, just because you've never heard of it doesn't mean that it's something that is not something that you can't do. And so we want to encourage folks, look, if you're dealing with some stuff regarding your finances, why not take a biblical approach and do something about it? All of the budgeting in the world does not necessarily make your finances better. It makes you more aware, but a budget in itself, y'all, that doesn't change behavior. You know how many folk budget and like, you know what, I am broke, and still go out there and do that shopping like Renee was talking about, knowing they broke. That's not it. We have to be willing to get away, connect with God, commune with God in a way that God is able to reach down from heaven and put his finger on top of the situation. And I'm trying to guarantee folks, I promise you, it'll work. So listen, last week, do y'all remember we were talking from Daniel chapter 1 and Daniel, the 10th chapter. And I just want to encourage everybody who may not have listened to the show last week, go back and read those two accounts. And there was so much in that. I'm not going to recap it all. But the thing that I did on last week was I challenged everybody. I challenged everybody to just find a biblical account of fasting. Find one. And let God speak to you through it. And the other thing I challenged everybody was this. Find a biblical account in the Bible. Find one, I challenge you, where when people fasted that God did not speak or respond. Every single time God responded or he spoke. Every single time. There's some people out there who are listening that are in a position that they choose not to be in right now financially. But they're listening to the wrong people, y'all. I know folks, and that may sound a little crazy coming from me because we're on the air and we're talking to folks. And I don't tell anybody, y'all, that we have all the answers to everybody. We want God to flow through us. We want to deal with his word so it can be something that you can stand on. You can take a lot of stuff that I say to the bank, y'all, I promise you. But when you can go and say, according to Daniel chapter 1, this is what I'm standing on, nobody can refute that. Nobody. But listen, y'all ready to try to go a little bit deeper tonight? Just a little bit. I don't know if everybody's gonna be able to handle it, but we're gonna try to get there. I want us to just take a look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. If you were with us last week, Mark chapter 9 is a companion, if you will, or Matthew 17 is a companion to Mark chapter 9. They deal with the similar account of Jesus healing a demon-possessed boy. It was after Jesus comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And let me just read it, because it's not me highlighting the story. There's several things that I want us to just do, like some people have said, line by line, precept by precept, because I think there's so many things that we can pull into this conversation about fasting for finances from these scriptures. And in verse 14, it says, when they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some of the teachers of religious law were arguing with them. Can we just stop there? I would like for us, Renee, Mama, everybody else, those of you who are listening, that want to jump into the conversation, press one of your dial pad. We'll bring you in, put you down, and give you a seat at the table. You don't have to go to the little chairs, and we'll put you at the big boys table like everybody else is sitting at, I promise you. In this one text, in this one verse, the first thing that I see is Jesus, he starts to approach the scene. And I thought about that with people's finances. I thought about how, as we're fasting for our finances, specifically, should you not expect Jesus to pop up on the scene? Should you not expect the Spirit of God to pop up on the scene and be able to communicate something to us, even in our moment? And I thought about that in light of the fact that sometimes it's hard to see. I mean, we can deal in reality. Renee, we talk about this. We can deal in the reality. The reality is, when people are going through, it's harder for them to see Jesus.
Okay.
It's harder for them to see Jesus. And so, for me, this one verse, I took it as Jesus, he's coming into the situation, and there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. We don't know why, but it says the teachers of the religious laws were arguing with them. So you got those who should know better arguing for whatever reason. And I won't just put this on the teachers of the religious law, but you and I both know, all of us know, that there are a lot of religious leaders, whether they're pastors, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, whatever, that are not on the same sheet of music with the people. And so when something like this comes up, hey, we're telling you, look, God, the Spirit of God says you can fast for your finances. Let's get it. But it doesn't sound like what you're being taught in church. But here's the reality. You can go to church all your life, and there's still going to be some stuff that you're not going to be taught.
Amen.
So I pass the mic to either one of you if there's anything in that verse. If not, we can keep on going. But that's what I was picking up out of that one particular verse. Jesus is approaching the crowd, and us as the leaders, us folk, we fighting with them. We shouldn't be fighting with the people that's among us. But anyway, that's a whole other story. Verse 15 said, when the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him. Mama, I don't know if you remember, but when we were talking about, or when we teach on financial healing, one of the things that we talk about is everything's already done in the spiritual realm.
Yes.
Everything. Always done in the spiritual realm. A lot of times, most of the time, maybe all the time, God is waiting for us to catch up in the natural. So when God is doing something, he's waiting for us to make our next step to catch up to what he's already done. How can we talk about it's already done, it's finished? How can we talk about the finished work of the cross, but yet still struggle with some of the same struggles that people struggle with all the time? It doesn't make sense. By his stripes, we are healed. We talk about this in our financial healing course. If by his stripes we are healed, then that means all healing is there. It's accessible for us. So why not go after it? The difference between verse 14 and 15 is Jesus was already in the mix before the people even recognized him. In verse 15, that's when they recognized Jesus among them. So my thing for everybody that's listening is, God is already working a lot of our situations out when it comes to our possessions, resources, and finances. If they didn't fix their eyes upon Jesus, then the rest of this story wouldn't even happen like it happened. So why not get into a place of fasting? And let me flip it before I get somebody to send me some hate mail. Praying and fasting, because, you know, I brought that scripture out last week. Why not get into a posture of praying and fasting? And then maybe you'll be able to see what God is saying to you. Mama, just like you talked about how spoken word of God to you was saying, bam, 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 this is what you need to do. But isn't it a good thing when you're positioning yourself and you're putting yourself into a situation where you're able to hear from God? In this text, there was confusion going on. Verse 16, Jesus said, what's all this arguing about? And I'm going to stop there. I'm going to let somebody else talk. What is all the arguing about? I want to imagine in my theological mind that Jesus is saying questions like, why are you still broke? Why are you still broke right now? Why don't you have a will? Why can't you leave? Why do you think you can't leave an inheritance for your children's children? Real simple one. Do you even want to be made whole? There's questions that I just believe God is asking to his people. He's asking a question. The response is up to us. The whole matter of this thing is, what is our response when Jesus, when the Spirit of God speaks to us, like he did with you, Mama? What's your response?
Yeah.
Is it a spoken response or of just speaking it? Or is it backed up with your faith, and then faith without works is dead, so are you putting the action that's needed to exercise your faith?
Right, the latter. I was thinking.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mom. Go ahead, please.
Oh, as I was getting back to what was laid on my heart, I was going to listen to the show and pick out some nuggets. And then I started getting frustrated. I said, oh, my gosh, look what time it is, and I got to fix dinner. Then I said, look, later. And when I went on there and I got quiet, and then the Lord spoke to me. because it wasn't what the show. There wasn't anything about the show. He wanted to deal with me and what I needed to do. It wasn't about me listening to try to get nuggets. It was just, wait a minute, get still here. I just calmed down and said, okay. I started doing what I had to do. It just came to me. I said, wow. So sometimes we just have to get quiet before the Lord. And I think about Mary, you know, I said, Martha, she's so busy, so busy, so busy. Sometimes we just need to get quiet. And although I was fixing them, but my mind was quiet. I just left that alone. I just got quiet. Yes.
One of the things that I find most interesting about Mark, in Mark 9, when Jesus came on the scene, and verse 16 says, and he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? What I find most interesting about that passage there is when we take a look at who the scribes were, these weren't necessarily men who were in right standing with God. They were very religious. They were right up there with the Pharisees. They held great public offices, often high authority, military offices. So they were big wigs in their little sect. And that's exactly how we are to look at things when it comes to the warfare that we're in, natural versus spiritual. Here are the scribes saying, okay, Jesus, what's up with your boys? something's happening here. And it says one of them stepped out, you know, from the multitude and said, well, why couldn't they do it? And that's how the world looks at us. When we represent Christ, people that are not exactly correct in their standing with God, they want to know what's going on with you. Well, if you love God, why are you so broke? Well, why are you struggling like that? Well, how are you going to tell me something and you stand in the shelter? I mean, they look at us and they want to know, okay, well, wait a minute. I'm religious. I think I have all the answers as is, so I'm going to look at you with your Jesus-believing self, and you don't seem to have power in a certain area. I'm going to ask you why. What's going on? And what answers will we have? What answers will we have when it comes to our finances or anything else for that matter? But when people of the faith are continually, constantly struggling in any area, it's going to raise eyebrows. It is. People are going to look. They're going to question. They're going to try to figure out what's going on. Oftentimes, sometimes, of course, we'll all find ourselves in situations that we just cannot help. Trials of life. Life happens. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that are in situations that they really should not be in because they're not being good stewards with God's belongings. So what are we going to say to the world when they come to us and say, well, hey, I have a problem with this. What's going on? And that's how I look at the scribes, because they were right up there with the Pharisees, very religious. Didn't walk in the correct standing, but always pointing fingers, asking questions, had something to say, trying to figure it out, make everybody else look crazy. So what do we say as Christians when we're the ones that seem to be struggling? And that leads me to something else. One of the things I find a lot of church folk doing, they can be struggling, they can be broke, they can be living check to check. You ask them, can they do a certain thing? Well, no, I don't have no money. All I got is my tithes. I got to pay my tithes. And you'll find people saying, well, I'm going to pay my tithes and not pay my bills. Just by faith, I'm going to pay my tithes. I'm going to leave that alone right there and back up off the mic because I messed up somebody's religion on tonight about that. So go ahead, doctor. Somebody help me rescue me right here.
Hey, Renee, we done messed up a lot of folks over these last almost 5 years, so it's okay. Well, since you brought it out, I mean, it's right there. I want folks to grab it. I want folks to grab verse 16. Jesus asked that question. What's the problem here? What's going on? What's all the arguing, whatever? He didn't ask it to the people. He asked it to the leaders. Please understand. He asked it to the leaders. Now, you got to understand that in this text, he's not behind in the deacons' board meeting going to them saying, all right, deacons, what's going on up here at Second Avenue, Apostolic Church of the Living God Incorporated to the Third Power? No. He's asking them this question right in front of everybody. As a leader in the kingdom of God. And as we know, so much that is going on financially in people's lives. Don't go talking about why they're in that situation. We ain't even talking about that. We just know that there are a lot of people not in a good place. I don't want God as a religious leader. I don't want God calling me out in front of everybody. What you doing to help this situation, Dustin Dunlap? And I ain't got an answer? I tell you something that happened. Because see, Jesus, the physical man, Jesus ain't gonna do it. It's gonna come through the Holy Spirit, right? Because he left the Holy Spirit with us, right? For us. I remember being at a church several years ago, and there was a brother who it was a brother and his wife, and they were sitting over on the side of the church. And I remember you can kind of see that the husband and the wife were not seeing eye to eye about something. They wasn't talking about the scripture. It was something else going on. And they were our light-skinned brothers, so you can kind of see their color had kind of changed a little bit to like a reddish tint. So then the lady gets up, the wife gets up, and she walks out to the, you know, where the bathrooms are in the back. And then I think the pastor picked up on that there was something going on, because I could see it, and I was sitting behind him. So, you know, when you're in a, Renee, you know, when we're in the pulpit, we can see everything, right? I mean, you know,
yes.
Talking to 10,000 folk, you know, but
yeah.
I ain't been no place like that. But usually I can see everything that's going on, you
yeah.
know, for the most part.
Yeah, see more than you want to see sometimes.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I sit in the front when I'm not preaching. But so while I believe the pastor actually picked up that there was something wrong. There was some confusion, right? What's all this arguing about? And so then the pastor says, you know, I'm really feeling that we need to pray. Somebody needs to come up and then let's pray. You know, there's a situation going on and you know, in your marriage or something like that. And I'm like, okay, you saw what I saw, but okay. So the brother gets up and he goes to the front. And he asks, you know, the pastor asks him, you know, what's going on. Again, the wife is still out. She's not back in the sanctuary, right? And he said it where you can hear him through the microphone asking the brother what's going on. And he just says it. He just comes out. He just comes out and he says, I'm tired of this. And I can't get the whole story one word for word, but he said, I'm tired of this. I'm a good man. I'm a good father. I provide for my children. Provide for my household. I go to work every day, and I don't get no appreciation. I'm tired of her talking to me like this. All the stuff he said, right?
Wow.
So the pastor. So now take that in the context of this situation, right? Because when you look at verse 17, it doesn't say maybe if you have a different translation, but my translation, New Living Translation, says one of the men in the crowd spoke up. It doesn't say the leader spoke up. It says somebody in the crowd. And then it goes and say, teacher, I brought my son to you so you can heal him. He's possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. Whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and he grinds his teeth and he becomes rigid. I'll stop there. There's more to that one verse, but I'll stop there. Jesus asked a question. Somebody gave an answer. Well, just what happens with the same thing happened with this pastor. He asked what's going on and no boy let him have it. This is what's going on. I'm tired of this. But then the pastor says, such and such, let me tell you what to do. If you just love your wife for 30 days, just love her for 30 days, I promise you, it will get better. Now, when people are going through things, hear me close. When people are going through things, we can take it to the financial piece. When people are struggling financially, when people need some help, when somebody's car's in the shop and they ain't got a way to get back to work and you got two sitting in the driveway, when people are dealing with stuff and they come to the man or woman of God, there's an expectation that you're going to have the right thing for me. See, there's an expectation there. Well, listen, when this brother said to the pastor, he said this, he said, you told me that before. I've tried all of it, and it doesn't work. Oh, my gosh. And the whole church heard him.
Oh, my gosh.
Can I tell you this? This pastor has said that to other folks. So that was his normal response. Love your wife. I'm sure he said, can I be transparent? He said that to me when I was in his office several times. Nathan, just love your wife for 30 days. I tried it for about a week. I'm thinking, I think what I'm doing is trying to love her, but at the same time, she's getting on my nerves, or I don't like her, whatever the case may be. And I had to see, my response was back in that office with him on another occasion. I was like, I ain't got it. I ain't nothing I can do, Pastor. I'm done. Because, see, let me go to the last part. I said I'm going to go to the last part of the verse. Last part of the verse says, so I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirits, but they couldn't do it. The man brought his son, who was dealing with the situation, to Jesus. Jesus was not there. So he goes and he brings him to the next best thing. These are his disciples. those who are walking with him, him being Christ. So if you're walking with Christ, his expectation is, I know you can handle this situation.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible tells us, nah, Jokers couldn't do it. So evidently there was something wrong with the leadership. I am not trying to suggest that every leader has every answer to your problem. But I'm telling you that in this situation, and I've heard it more than on one occasion, that people are bringing things to their religious leaders. The same religious leaders that are so powerful on Sunday morning. See, this didn't happen in the church. This didn't happen in the synagogue, y'all. This was out in the streets. Go read it. Ain't in the synagogue. In the streets. And so much of our encounters, now I'm going to break it down a notch. I'm going to shift to second gear or shift back to second from third. Religious leaders, that's one part. But what about the regular disciple, the regular believer? You've been in church 40 years. You've been tithing all your life. But you ain't got no insurance. What's wrong with the picture? The future may not be right now. The future is going to be when you die, when they doing GoFundMe or selling chicken dinners or fish plates.
T-shirts.
So the leaders have to be so careful of making sure that we are connected enough to God so that when these situations come up to us, ain't no second chances. Ain't no second chances a lot of times. Somebody had a conversation with me yesterday about going to a church event, Bible study. And they said, if it wasn't for this person, I wouldn't even go back. First impressions mean everything. The Bible does not tell us that this man had any relationship with those disciples or had ever been in Jesus' presence before in his life. Doesn't say that. But at that time, this man said, look, this situation, I'm tired of this situation with my son. I need to get some help. So we got two layers, y'all. We got the leaders that we're going to be asked a question. Some of us probably already being asked a question just like, that ain't Jesus. That ain't Jesus asked me why I ain't doing this. That ain't Jesus. That ain't Jesus. And then you got the regular believer that you got other folks that's going to come and say, like you said, Renee, how you still in this situation? Blessed and highly favored. How you blessed and highly favored, just got repoed yesterday. But you blessed and highly favored. The normal folk don't understand what the heck that means. And in the big scheme of things, that blessed and highly favored, that's a saying. Because if the next question is, well, how are you blessed and highly favored, you just got your car repoed, and you ain't got no way to get to work tomorrow. Well, I'm still blessed. Okay, let's take it another step further. You're still blessed, and now you ain't got a way to get to work. You don't get to work, and you already had two strikes, or you work an hourly wage, and you can't get there until 12 because nobody from the church going to let you borrow their car, and nobody from the church going to give you a ride, so you got to go get some other way there. You'd have missed 4 hours of work. That's 4 times 10.25 or whatever it is that you earn. Now that affects the rest of your finances. So I asked the disciples to cast out the evil spirit. The situation of a lot of people's finances is not of God.
Man.
A lot of it's not of God. It's not of God to file bankruptcy 2, 3, and 4 times and don't get the lesson. That ain't of God. That's of the flesh.
Absolutely.
That's taking a bailout. It's not of God to be spending money as one spouse in the relationship and then not having money to take care of your responsibilities. That ain't of God. Can I go somewhere real quick, Renee? In your book, it was necessary. I know I'm about to shock you. One of the things that you mentioned was you talked about divine order.
Yes, sir.
And you talked about divine order, and those who have been around the PRF family for just a little while knows that wills and inheritance is very, very significant to us and key to us. But can I read something that you wrote in your book? I'm not going to read the whole passage, but I want to read like two lines.
Absolutely.
You were talking about Luke 15, right? And we know that that's a parable where Jesus is talking about a man who had a son. He had two sons, but one came and said, "Give me my share of your inheritance right now," and then he goes off and he squanders it. But here's what you said. Mm-hmm. When someone dies in the natural, we look at their will for instructions on what to do with their possessions. Well, so it is in the spirit realm. And then you go on to say, they haven't died to their own ways, their own desires, or their own thoughts. Yet they claim to want all the things he left in the will.
Absolutely.
That's crazy. Fasting, people, listen. Fasting will have people, have us. It puts us in a position where this thing ain't about us. It ain't about us. It's us connecting with God. It's putting ourselves into a position for God to speak. So if you're going through financial problems, doggone, why not put yourself in a position for God to speak?
Absolutely.
See, we're not even talking about all the different types and everything, all that else. We're saying, look, let's get a foundation so you can get it in your mind and then get it into your spirit that I should fast from. I can fast for my finances. Not that I should, I can. Some people don't think they can fast for their finances.
Mm-hmm.
I can fast right now. I ain't got to wait till the church fast in October. Do you know how far in debt you'll be by the time you wait till October?
February for the Daniel fast.
Yeah, we're going to do Daniel fast in February. Jack, February over. And he put it in the shortest month of the year like they do Black History Month. But anyway, come on. So, oh my goodness. Can I bring something else out? Y'all jump in. It's like double dutch. Y'all know how we do here on the Peer Half Table. Another thing that is so so critical that people need to grab a hold to out of this text, especially in chapters chapter 9 of Mark, verse 17, 18, for those who are just joining us. If you go and you read the account of this of the situation, listen to what he says. "I brought my son so you could heal him." He didn't say, "I brought my son to get a miracle." He said, "I brought my son so you can heal him." So that, and listen, and we teach, because, I mean, if you just go to the definition, you understand that healing is a process. It's a process. The process can be short for some and long for others, but it's still a process. Regardless, it's still a process. He didn't say, "I just want you to just wave your hand and make it all right," like you hear in church sometimes. "Jesus is going to fix it." Yeah, and you ain't got to do nothing. Can you at least give him the wrench? Can you at least point and tell him, you know, where the leak coming from? It's right there. The leak right there, Jesus. You got the plumber coming in your house. You ain't gonna tell him it's in the bathroom. You want him to find it on his own. What kind of foolishness would you do with that? That's crazy. But he said he's possessed by an evil spirit. Whenever this spirit seizes him, there are a lot of people that their finances have them captive. We just got off of a series. Freedom from financial bondage, release from financial bondage. That was last month in March. So whatever this thing was, it had him. And if you look at the text, it talks about how it violently threw him to the ground. You got to understand, Satan and his demons, they don't play patty cake. Them jokers like hitting home runs.
Amen.
Them jokers ain't satisfied with... They play for keeps. They're not satisfied with a ground rule double. They're not satisfied getting walking to first base. Trying to knock this thing out the park. I'm trying to mess you up so it messes up you, your household, your generations, so it messes up your ministry.
Sir.
That's how the enemy think about how to deal with folk in their finances. Just like this.
Amen. this is why I think this topic is so awesome, because fasting for your finances doesn't necessarily mean I'm in a mess, God, I need a miracle. You run into the mailbox every day looking for a blessing and you think some money's going to just fall out the sky. No, fasting to see what God's will is concerning money. See what the word says about money. Learn how to be a giver. Learn how to be a doer of God's word, because money is no different than any other aspect. When we address things spiritually, we got to study. We got to know what the word says about it. We have to know what God requires of that thing. So fasting to say, oh, God, I need this, I need, I need, I need, I need, that's the problem with most church folk now. They're busy telling God what they need, what they want, and what they desire. When fasting takes place, it is then a time of mourning, sorrow, a time of just pure humility before God. For once saying, Father, what do you require of me? I need some strongholds broken in my life. I need change. I need things to happen. So it's a time when we really seek the Father for his will. I think we've been taught so long in the church, and unfortunately, I'm just going to say it, a lot of people don't study as they should, so they believe everything coming across the pulpit. So if the pastor tells you for years to do X, Y, Z, well, you keep doing X, Y, Z. Well, obviously it ain't working for you because you're in a situation you're in. So me, I don't know about anybody else, but the way my salvation set up, when I see stuff not making any sense and there's no logic attached to what you're saying, and I've been this way from day one, I go seek it out. I study, I pray, and I say, well, God, that's not making a whole lot of sense. And if you're saying this, well, why are you doing that? Well, God, I don't think that makes a whole lot of sense. So what I did, I found out early in this game that I had to become intimate with God. I had to know what he was requiring, because I'm tithing, I'm giving my 10%, I'm giving my 10%, I'm giving my 10%, I'm giving my 10%, and I'm still struggling? Something is wrong with that picture. We have to get to the meat of the matter, figure out what's going on. Okay, God, this is your money. I'm telling you, I had a come to Jesus moment about this money and learning how to be single. Okay, Father, this is your money. What do I do with it? Obviously, something's not working here because things are much tighter than I would like them to be. So I need you to help me. I repented. I asked the Lord to forgive me for being careless with money, to forgive me for not pouring more into ministry than myself. I ask the Lord to teach me what to and how to with his money. So I think it's imperative that the body of Christ study. If we would study, I promise you, we wouldn't do half the stuff we're doing. Quit believing everything that's being said over the pulpit. By no means am I discrediting any leaders, pastors, bishops, apostles, whatever names they have. By all means, give honor to whom honor is due. That's fine. But the Bible never told you to just believe everything said over a pulpit. What it did say was study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. So we find ourselves in a lot of situations we ashamed of. You might not be so ashamed if you would study.
Amen.
You might not
amen.
Be ashamed. Try
amen.
That.
Amen, amen.
You need not be ashamed. Take a moment to see what God is saying about it. You really don't have to be as jacked up as you are. I understand Pastor has a revelation about the tithing and the this and the that, but I promise you, if you do just a little bit of studying and you ask God to show you certain things, if you ask the Lord to teach you, I'm a living witness that he will. And I'm going to show back up from that because I'll mess with y'all tithing and y'all be ready to cast me to the pits of hell and all of that. I'm going to mess with y'all tasks, but I beg of you
to
read Malachi and study it, see what the Lord was talking about and
ooh,
who he was
Lord
talking to, and quit letting people tell you you cursed with a curse, because that's foolishness.
Amen.
Okay,
amen.
I'm backing up from the table, Doc. Y'all better catch me. All right, catch me, catch me. I'll put a muzzle on it.
Renata went from fifth gear. She tried to get down to second, but it ain't. All you hear is... it ain't going a second.
Because that's another area that you see people hurting in. And, I mean, when I first got saved, I hear
things. Hold on, Mama.
Okay.
Mama, we ain't going. I know you're trying. I know where you're about to go. I've talked to you long enough.
Oh.
We ain't about to go to a time discussion. We're going to keep it on the road.
Okay.
We're going to keep it on the road. We will get to that. I promise you we will get to that.
Okay.
But let's give the people this. That is some of people's struggles financially.
Yes.
Right? So.
Yeah.
Just like we said with fasting, seek the word of God. Matter of fact, we got a course. It's called Tithing Out of Law or Love. We have a course here at the PRF Institute. We'll be more than happy to teach you. And we can study that thing together, Renee. And then we can see what God's going to say to you. One of the things that I tell people in that course every time, I said, listen, one, don't go back telling your pastor he's been teaching you wrong about tithing all your life. Don't go back doing that. don't go back doing that.
No. You get kicked out of church.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But then there's something that we do at the end of the lesson, and I won't share that because it's just a big point in the course. But at the end of the day, you have to do something more than what you're doing, and I just totally wholeheartedly agree. Whether it's tithing, whether it's giving, whether it's planning, whether it's saving, whether it's dealing with whatever area it is that we deal with in PRF. If something is not working, you need to be consulting with God. God, what the heck is going on? What am I not doing right? Right?
That's
and
good.
What we're pushing people to do, because, again, this is not about teaching you too fast. This is giving you some foundation so that whenever a situation comes up like it did in Mark chapter 9, you don't have somebody saying, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't have the power, and you a church person, and you know the enemy is out here just ready just to destroy the name of God.
Yes, sir.
Destroy the name of God. So, and we go on to verse 19 in the text. Jesus said to them, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. I don't know about you, but I don't do a bunch of crazy stuff all the time, but sometimes I do. And when you got to hear words like that, like, dude, you got all that education. Why are you tripping off of this? It don't matter what it don't matter that you're not hearing these exact words, but the Spirit of God will speak to you just like he speaks to me and say, look, why are you acting like that? Yeah, you had a situation with the car. You got the money in the bank. Are you really going to trip? See, that's how I got to deal with my household. Don't trip. The money in the bank. Don't trip.
That's right.
don't trip.
Man. Yeah.
You know, it was one tire, and it was a one tire that had to get fixed, and it was an inconvenience, right? Pushed behind a little bit on work. It could have been all four of them jokers that blew out. Four times 250, that's a grand. No, don't want to do it, right? So we ain't going to trip.
Amen.
We're wrapping this one down. We're going to deal with Matthew 17 next week. But here's what I want you to understand, what I want folks to get. And I'm only going to speak to one group of people. Us. And when I say us, I'm talking about us as the leaders in the kingdom. The leaders in the church. When he said what he said in verse 19, that was a rebuke. How long must I be with you? Jesus had a plan already. The plan was for him to go back to be with the Father. There was some stuff he had to do down here on earth and get those disciples and others, give them in a position so that they can do greater works. I'll be preaching on that next week, so that's why it's coming up now. He said when he goes, he said, I go to prepare a place. And then he says, he's leaving them a comforter. I won't leave you comfortless. So how in the world can God move on to other things and deal with other things? The ones who are walking, or Jesus, excuse me, if the ones who are walking with him can't get it together. So let's break it down. Let's start talking about the church. I'm going to try to get off at 9 o'clock tonight. I'm going to try. Let's talk about the church. How in the world are you going to build another church building when you got folk that their finances is already messed up, that they don't have a good understanding of stewardship? that they're cursed, feel like they're cursed with a curse because of the tie. How are you going to go to a next level? So some of what we're bringing up to people during this series is let's go ahead and break it down a notch. Let's go from second. Go. I know you fired up, filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's break it down from Holy Ghost number 5 to Holy Ghost number 1. and pray and fast and let God reveal. You'll get there. I mean, if you really think about it, it's not over. Just this scripture doesn't mean it's over. It just means there's a bump in the road. And Jesus had to deal with it, just like God has to deal with us sometimes when we had these bumps in the road. Because these same folks that he's talking to, he was talking to his disciples. So those same folks, those are the same ones. I mean, John, Peter, weren't they? Did they not do greater works? They did. So it ain't over just because there's a bump in the road. I don't want anybody jumping off the air thinking that it's over because there's a bump in the road. But what I'm saying is there's a whole bunch of bumps going on right now in the life of the church. So let's not wait any longer. Let's deal with what we got to deal with in the church so that the people are in a better position to do the works that they have to do.
Amen.
God has called everybody. He's given everybody an assignment. But here's what I know. If things are so bad with your finances, that will cause you not to go ahead and step out to do your assignment. Especially if you ain't privileged. And I say privileged. I ain't talking about white privilege. If you're privileged, what do I mean? Hear me close. If you're related to somebody, if your church run the family, your family run the church, you have some privilege. Because, see, you say, Lord, call me to ministry. But shoot, Dunlap, Joker, you just been saved 4 months. What do you mean you've been called? No, we got to let you wait a while. We got to sit you. We got to see what you made up. Dude, I'm hanging out at the club with your nephew. Just we got the same club. But you ain't got a problem with him because he's privileged. Come on now. Everybody has an assignment. Everybody has an assignment. And some folks don't step out there to do what God has called them to do because of money. I'm telling you what I know. So let's get positioned, y'all. Let's get positioned. You can go on and read the rest of the text, but I'm just going to get us down to verse 29. Verse 29, Jesus says, this kind can only come out by prayer. And some of the manuscripts say by prayer and fasting. Not fasting and praying, but prayer and fasting. So now you have the disciples. Now you have the scribes. Now you have the crowd of people that was around there. Now you have the Son. Now you have the Father. You got all those folks. All those folks that saw this. But now Jesus pulls in just the disciples. If you go and look in verse 28, I believe, he's by himself with his leaders. And now they get to another heart of the matter. Why couldn't we take care of that? Why couldn't we handle that business? You can't deal with this type of stuff without praying and fasting. And so that's why I'm leaving it. Think your financial situation going to just get better just because you're out there praying. That's not what Jesus told them when you got situations like this that's wrecking havoc in the church, wrecking havoc in marriages, wrecking havoc in society. And that, the governor of Alabama, just resigned. He was about to get impeached and about to get really bad. But here's the deal. The cost of the investigation to investigate his wrongdoings, and then the cost for his defense is $900,000+. All of that is being paid by the taxpayer. So we have situations that are just bad, that just don't affect individual households. They affect governments as well. And the reason that situation is where it is because of the enemy. and people succumbing to their flesh, of course. But the enemy caused that confusion in the government. What makes you think he ain't trying to do the same thing in the church house?
Mm-hmm.
He started off talking to the religious leaders, the scribes. He talked to them openly with everybody else around. But it was his disciples that he gave the key to dealing with that situation. Think about this as I'm done. But think about this. I wonder why Jesus didn't tell them the key to dealing with this type of situation with everybody else around. Why did he wait until he was by himself in the house with just the disciples? Here's my response. My response is, because everybody can't handle it. Some folk, if he would have said it, the Bible don't say this, so just listen to me for a moment. I'm believing that if he would have said that when everything else was going on, when all that confusion was going on, when everybody was just trying to figure out what was going on and why are we doing this and why are they doing that, and look, they couldn't do it, they ain't got the power. Do you think everybody would have received it? Or did it? Jesus is known for being alone. And some good things happening in the Bible. So for him to get alone with his disciples lets me know that we as disciples got to get alone with him. I'm done. Y'all know me. Mama, Renee, closing comments. I'm done.
I encourage everybody, take some time this week, purpose in your spirit and in your heart to diligently seek the Lord about this discussion, really. Just seek the Lord. Ask him the hard questions, things you may not understand. You may not have heard certain things before. Just ask the Lord. I promise you, if you ask from a sincere heart, he will show you the truth. Fast with it. Pray with it. Ask him to teach you about his money, his finances, and how we can do better.
That's it. Well, listen, everybody, we are so grateful for everybody who has just been with us on this evening. Let me do this. I never like to leave with somebody desiring to talk on the PRF table. So we have somebody, again, this PRF table, so we can do it how we do it. So there's a caller, last four, 1777. You're live on the PRF table. What's your comment or your question?
Good evening, PRF family. Dr. Dunlap, this is Kimberly Silas. Mama, thank you so much. I just wanted to say I have been listening in this evening, and it has been a tremendous blessing. Not to go into a long, detailed story, but spiritually I have been in a very uncertain place, and frustration and loneliness, fear, apprehension, to name a few. But Dr. Dunlap, you have always been such a powerful and impacting presence in my life. When you invited me on this evening, I was excited about realigning myself with right resource and network. So I want to say thank you. But I have been keeping meticulous notes this evening because Renee, oh, my God, sister, you broke it down. And I will be studying the book of Malachi tonight.
Please, honey, please read it. Please read that third chapter. And ask the Lord to teach you. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Get you a broke down version like the Amplified version. You're going to say, oh, my.
But,
yes.
You know, I feel so honored every time I am in the presence of the PRF family. I am so blessed because I know that they don't teach this in traditional church, and we are often entertained during the service, but we left either more confused or just as confused as we were when we arrived at Sunday service. So I just want to thank you guys so much for always sowing into me and nurturing my spirit. But this has been a very, very, very great session.
Amen. Well, we thank you, Sister and Sister Kimberly. And listen, for those who are like, who is this person that's online? Listen, this is Kimberly Solis. I'm going to tell you that if you were with us in January, she was with us the whole month of January in our monthly series that we had. It was Your Health is Your Wealth. And my goodness, it was just phenomenal, phenomenal. So you can go back and listen to any of those previous episodes. Go to our website, look on our calendar, and look up any of those shows from January 2017. You'll be able to listen to them, and I guarantee you will definitely be blessed. And so with that, again, we always honor Sister Kimberly for being with us, being back with us at the table, and we know that she'll get back on a regular basis soon enough. I do want to mention a couple things as we go. One of our facilitators, Brother Christopher McWhite, lives up in Boston or in the Boston area, Massachusetts. His mom has transitioned from this life to the next. Her funeral is on Saturday. The wake and the funeral will be on Saturday in Indianapolis, Indiana. Myself and another mutual brother who knows Brother McWhite will be traveling up to Indianapolis tomorrow to be there, and I'll do whatever I need to do in my capacity as a minister for the family. And just please keep the McWhite family in prayer, because you only get one mom and one daddy, and I'll leave it at that. And that was his mama, and mamas are special. And trust me, it's a blessing. It's a blessing just to have your mama still around. I don't care how old you are. It's a blessing to still have your daddy around. I don't care how old you are. So, honor your mother and your father all the days of your life. So your life will be as good as God desires for it to be. Then also we have some other things coming up here at the PRF Teacher Ministry. So just be on the lookout. Visit our Facebook page. We want connected on the Facebook page for one, because that's where a lot of our communications are being put up on a daily basis. If you go to our website, we have a revision on the website under our current events. So now we have a place where if you want to find out about our conferences, you can just go straight to that box on the website that says conferences. If you want to find out about our webinars, you can go straight to that box. If you want to find out about partner events, you can do that as well. And then if you want to find out what are we talking about here on the PRF table, there's a box for radio shows. And I do want to mention that we have a partner event that's coming up on April the 14th. One of our partners is his gathering house located at 2009 2nd Avenue in Phoenix City, Alabama. And they're having their 9th annual Passover experience. 9th annual. And so I know that there are probably about 3, maybe 4 seats left. It's free to the community. And Pastor Bill Holmes, he does an awesome job, like it's, business, but he just lays that thing out. I'm just telling you, when he just talks about the Passover and the story of Exodus from Abraham to the Messiah, and then the ultimate fulfillment when Jesus returns for his bride, which we know as the church. He really separates truth from tradition. My wife and I, we've been to several of those over the years, and there's an actual biblical Passover meal that is prepared, and it's just amazing. So if you're anywhere in the Columbus, Georgia, Phoenix City area, even if you are within a 90-mile radius, I would just encourage you. And it's going to be on Friday, April the 14th, 2017, at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you desire to be a part of this experience, you can call 706-681-9168. And it's tomorrow, so I would recommend that you call tonight or as soon as possible. It's 9 o'clock, but as soon as possible, or definitely early in the morning, so they can make sure that they have a seat for you. And if you need my seat, I'll be glad to give up my seat to anybody who desires they want to go. And so with that, Sister Renee, again, thank you so much for being with us. And we look forward to you being back with us again next week. And please tell people once again about your book and where can they get your book, it was necessary.
You can go to my website, whyitwasnecessary.com, or you can find me on Amazon. You can look up my name, Renee Higgins, or whyitwasnecessary.com. And if you go to whyitwasnecessary.com, you'll get it quicker that way and a little cheaper.
Okay, okay.
And guys, I thank you for having me again tonight. I love this show. The broadcast, whether I can't call it a show because this is all truth and it's good to me. I feast from you guys. It's a blessing to be here having a seat at the table. Thank you for the invite.
Well, thank you. Thank you. We're glad that God has connected our paths and all of us here on the PR table. God just has a unique way of connecting his people to do his work. And he knows what is needed. He knows what we need. He knows what you need. And who is in the atmosphere that can actually just truly make it happen. And so with that, God bless you. We will deal with y'all throughout the week if you're willing to deal with us. We will see you next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on the PR table. This is Dr. Dunlap. Good night.
Good night, Mama.
Good night, Mama.